The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Chai FM. And as usual, been researching all the latest news, views, gadgets and gizmos and everything else that sort of affects our life and gives us some joy sometimes and lots of trouble in other times. I mean, there's just nothing like a printer, absolute spawn of the devil as far as I'm concerned. They're always offline, out of ink, jammed, or running out of something or other when you desperately need that one thing printed. But, and surprisingly, sorry, just a quick rant here, but surprisingly, printers have remained a really useful tool for businesses and personal lives. It's crazy. In this fully digital online world where everything's connected to everything, you would think that the way the printer would go the way of the fax machine. I, in fact, don't even know if you can buy a fax machine today. There are a couple floating about, but I mean, imagine faxing a document to someone at this point in time. Makes zero sense. Click with a camera, send it off as a PDF, and away you go. So printers have always been a real challenge, and maybe they're not putting enough effort into making really cool, problem-free, easy-to-use printers, because every single one, with the exception of one or two that I've used, like my shout-out is always to Brother Printers, Japanese, you really poor user interface, but they just work and they never go wrong and they don't cost too much. And, you know, it's just a good mix of the lesser evils. But moving on from my printer rant, a very interesting constitutional court judgment came out this week. And the tech angle on this I'll come to in a minute, but essentially they have affirmed that the earlier ruling of the Supreme Court of Appeal, that section 6.1A of the Act, that's the, sorry, just to be clear, the Citizenship Act is unconstitutional. What that means is that you cannot have your South African citizenship taken away from you if you get another citizenship, which is a topic that a lot of people have been dealing with over the last many years, and they discovered that all of a sudden they were no longer listed as South African citizens, and you had to get a letter of retention before getting new citizenship or another citizenship, and you otherwise you would lose your South African citizenship. Well, the repeal of this section simply means that they cannot take away your citizenship for any reason or any reason of that sort. You can have dual citizenship. You don't need a letter of retention. You don't need to apply to the government to retain your South African citizenship. You never lost it in the first place, in effect. So going all the way back from the 6th of October, 1995, if a South African acquired citizenship of another country without first applying for and obtaining ministerial permission to retain their citizenship, they would have automatically lost it, and now they haven't. Now it gets super techy and complicated. How do you know whether that is in fact the situation if you're outside of the country and you have no real connection with South Africa, or whether you're living in the country as a matter of interest? And that is where there is a brand new online portal coming, and Leon Schreiber, the minister, has said that he will try to have it up and running in a month, that will allow you to check your citizenship and to request that it is reinstated in the normal course, which should allow you to apply for a smart card and a passport. Now, that's always been a challenge for people living outside of the country. It can take months, if not up to a year, to get that sort of documentation. And also, there's another little hassle that a number of people have mentioned coming through the various ports and the airports, saying that if your place of birth is South Africa, then the customs officials or the immigration officials will say to you, oh, but where's your South African passport if you were born in South Africa? You can't travel on a foreign passport. Then you've got to show them a letter that you've given up your South African citizenship. So the bureaucracy around dual passports and multiple citizenships has always been intense, and nobody after an 11-hour flight wants to fight with some sort of person at immigration about how they're entering the country. So it gets super, super interesting. But this clarifies a lot of things. It makes it super simple. As soon as that website comes out, I will check it out for you and let you know all about it. But I think it's a great move on all fronts. And the speed in which the Department of Home Affairs is moving to make it easier for you to either confirm or to sort out your status and then apply for the various passports, IDs, etc., makes a lot of sense. So stay tuned. I think this is a great one. And staying with state-owned enterprises and things, SAA was hacked this weekend. Crazy, and it's going on and on. We've talked about cybersecurity and the fact that South Africa is in the front line for many reasons. One, there's a massive uneducated population. Two, there's a massive infrastructure that serves those people. And all the platforms and systems that run to do this exist in South Africa like many other countries. But I think in many ways, people and the platforms themselves are a little immature and a little naive as to the craziness that's running around. And there have been some pretty significant hacks. But simply put, SAA was hacked. Their systems went down for a short while. And the good news is that everything seems to be back up and running now. And they say they had a really good response. But be careful. I would go online if you use SAA. And interestingly, I used SAA in March to fly down to Cape Town. And I was really, this is a quick shout out, I was super impressed. The planes were great. The staff were excellent. Everything around flying with them was really good. And they didn't nickel and dime you for your seat and your sandwich and your everything. It was just one fare, which made sense. And it was actually very competitive with all the other airlines. So how's that for an interesting one? I swore not to fly SAA many years ago. And I did because it just worked out this time. And I was quite impressed. So their systems went down. I would say if you have anything to do with them and you have a login, change your password right now. And just stay tuned and watch. But FlySafe have just launched an 11 Rand promotion right about now while everyone's struggling to get their SAA tickets. So it's always fun and games. But let's see. Apparently, all normal functionality has returned. And hopefully, you weren't affected by the disruption. And apparently, they've learned a lot of lessons and they won't let it happen again in the future. But let's carry on with this government focus. And another little thing that came across my desk this week, which astonishes me, the State Information and Technology Agency, CETA, has been given a grilling in the Parliament for a simple, crazy fact. I would never have even considered this for any reason whatsoever, considering that accounting today has become an entirely a technology-driven exercise. Who does books on paper? Who runs their business by using paper to do their accounting functions and payment functions? Everything is scanned, electronic, based on really inexpensive and highly sophisticated systems. I mean, for as little as a couple of hundred rand a month, you can run a multi-million rand business on an accounting practice, allow everything to work. Well, here's the kicker. I mean, it's unbelievable. Apparently, there's a massive lack of accountability and lack of internal controls because CETA are using a paper-based accounting system to do everything. I mean, they deal with every single one of the state agencies. And a little segue here. The Department of Home Affairs has asked Parliament for an exemption to use CETA for anything because they've found that their services just can't keep up with the need and the use and the modern stuff that they have to do in order to help us with our passports and et cetera, et cetera. So there's been serious focus on that. And my opinion really quite simply on this whole thing is that we do not need CETA. There are a ton of great commercial people who can do all the stuff that CETA does. So why are they talking about private partners and partnerships and public partnerships? It makes zero sense. Anyway, we've got a quick live read and we will be back straight after this for a talk about AI agents and a little quick analysis of all of them and how this is going to change everything that you do online. So Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having a regular wellness check, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. All of this is fast, affordable, and done with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem pharmacies, which are pretty much all over the country. Better health starts here. And we'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Oh, welcome back. And in our Tech Talk Cafe, I am working with our team at High FM to get a couple of interviews on the go again in the next few months or few weeks. And we'll bring some really interesting people. But one of the key things around what I want to talk about in this segment is actually an extremely interesting and topical and important factor, and that is the smart home and security around the smart home. So technology has affected almost every aspect of our lives, and the vast majority of us have an alarm in our house that's connected to some form of response systems, a response service which will come to check with you, be it armed response, be it a neighborhood guard, or some sort of patrolling system it's available in your neighborhood, or simply to advise you through some electronic means, something on your phone, that you've been, you know, someone's broken into the house, or there's been an alarm activation, etc., etc. But truth be told, technology has moved so far beyond that basic having a sensor on a door or a motion sensor in the house, which tends to be the default and the sort of grudge purchase that we all do in order to keep our insurance companies and everyone else happy. But it has really moved way beyond it. And again, we're into AI powered stuff, which is really going to change pretty much everything. And we need to start looking at much more powerful, much more useful, and much more intelligent stuff that's going to help us in a big way. And one of the things that I find for myself is using things such as cameras. So now, a lot of the cameras and a lot of the other elements that make a lot of sense are cameras such as, sorry, I'm just quickly pulling it up here. I've been working with and playing with something called Arlo. Now, Arlo cameras, and this is not a gadget review, it's more of a let's look at what is possible over the next little while. What I'm finding is that using and integrating cameras into your home system makes a lot of sense. We've got smart doorbells, we've got the Ring smart doorbells, for example, but there are many others on the market, and we'll talk about this in another time. And I'll review a couple of these gadgets. I've been using a Ring doorbell for years, and I've got the subscription, which allows me to record and to keep a whole host of these things sort of in record. If someone comes to the door, you get full facial recognition. But what I like about the Arlo Ultra, there's an Ultra Wireless 2 and now the Ultra Wireless 3 surveillance packs, is that they allow you to set up a really cool ring, if you want to call it, of visual sensors around your home. And that makes a huge difference with regard to the smart home that you're trying to build. Most homes have Wi-Fi. Most homes have the ability to connect certain stuff wired. But having a whole pack of additional night vision certified, as well as day vision, as well as motion sensor authorized or sort of enable products with really good quality. Some of them, in fact, certainly the Arlo and others that we've looked at, some of the, for example, Eufy, which is another brand that I've been playing with I've seen it from iStore and other retailers, make a huge amount of sense within the home system. And the trick really is, I would say the first thing to do is to speak to your current providers of security. And what I've done is I've spoken to the various people that have done it, and I've asked them for an integrated smart home pack that gives you a lot more coverage and a lot more nuanced control over what's going on. And for many reasons, you can use them to monitor what's going on in the house, though again, that gets sort of, you got to sort of be a little bit careful about having too many cameras within a home. And a lot of people do have cameras to monitor front doors, gates, back doors, and other, say, pools even, with various alarms set up. But what has really moved a lot, and where AI has changed many, many things, you can set up scenarios that will allow you, if someone jumps in the pool, the cameras come on. It's a sound-based thing. You're not monitoring the pool 24/7 and recording all that stuff. But if there's motion around the pool gate or in the pool area, you can then set up a scenario that becomes an issue that needs to notify you. The same between hours of 10 at night and 5 in the morning, if someone tries to move around the front of your house or approach a gate or tamper with a car or anything of that sort, you can find that simply having a false alarm, which was a motion sensor gone off by a falling tree or a cat. Most of them have dog and cat sensors today, which is quite interesting. But certainly using a really good range of cameras like the Eufy, using the Arlas, there are a number of others. I would say from some of the really cheap ones, I find that they tend not to work. And also buying them was part of a subscription service that allows you to be able to review and keep a certain amount of video. And again, challenging for one simple reason. We do have power insecurity in South Africa, though the vast majority of these platforms and systems have a lot of power backup. So I would recommend that you investigate this. I'm bringing this up as a overall large topic to discuss the power and the benefit of having surveillance products within a home and how they can do so much to improve what you do around the various platforms that you already have. So the standard type of security platforms that most of us work in, which have a radio connection or a telephone connection, a lot of them now have full internet connections. Some of them connect to control centers that are monitored 24/7, which becomes somewhat expensive. But I would say a combination of all of these has become really important in the current environment. Crime is up. There's no question that home break-ins, invasions, attacks, and that sort of stuff is something that we actually have to be aware of, even if it's not happening daily in our suburbs. And in conjunction with the various neighborhood watches or neighborhood guard systems, it makes a lot of sense. But the more advanced camera-based surveillance setups are no longer the area of big businesses and you know, like in the movies, you see it in all the sort of offices and government stuff. But for the home, it has become really reasonable, from about 3 to 10,000 rand for a pack, sometimes a little bit more. There's obviously an ongoing subscription service that you need in order to monitor and manage this. But again, with the benefit of the internet, with the benefit of having a smartphone and having a smartphone at home, dealing with all these various products and giving you the various platforms and an ability to set up scenarios and times when you're going to be, you know, hassled. You don't want to go out and continuously have to watch your screen. You want to be informed when something out of the ordinary has happened or something unusual. The benefit of having a Ring doorbell, for example, and the same sort of thinking goes into having a surveillance system, is that when you're not home and someone comes to the door, you may or may not be able to open that door. And that's the next thing that I've played with, and it's highly recommended. You can have smart front door locks or smart access controls, which will allow you to remotely allow people into your premises or whatever you want to do. So you're out, no one's home, you want to let in someone you know, your kids, something, doesn't matter, they left their keys at home. You can use a smart lock, which will allow you to either use a phone with an app or a remote unlock based on a camera, so you know exactly who's there, or delivery into the front garden rather than into the house. So the use of these smart surveillance products makes so much sense in the current environment we're in. And for the most part, if it's done with a lot of thought and it's done as part of the overall electronic control of a smart home. So you're talking about smart temperature controls, you can link that. You can link it to any form of solar battery backup, whether it there are multiple on the market. So you always know what's happening with your home in terms of power, what's being going on and off, what's not working. You can turn on things remotely, very, very smart. A lot of washing machines and things. We don't have it in most places, but in many countries around the world, you've got really low power costs after certain hours or before certain hours. So you can turn on washing machines, you can turn on tumble dryers, you can switch ovens on and off. Most home appliances today have either the option, not the very entry level, but certainly one step up, to allow you to control them via a home kit or the Matter controls, or it doesn't matter which one of the various platforms that you use, but all of this can be integrated fully with surveillance packs, with your alarm system, with your access control. And more, all of that is being managed in a way that brings a ton of smart and security to the home. Now, one of the biggest challenges that most South African homes have had around installing smart home technology has simply been the fact that most of this technology, sort of the better quality ones, relied on cabling and wiring in order to install a lot of the products and services and platforms. However, today, with really good quality mesh networking on Wi-Fi, another topic of a smart home that really needs to be explored, if you have a single router in the middle of your house somewhere, and you've got really poor signal out on the fringe, certainly towards the front door and the gate, these type of platforms are not going to work very well, and you need to look at something like a mesh network, which puts multiple little access points around the house that all talk together as a mesh. So you've got one Wi-Fi name wherever you go in the house, like you would in a business, and you land up with a simple, powerful, accessible Wi-Fi network where you can connect all these various little devices to, which makes a lot of sense. And certainly with video, because with video, you need a little bit more bandwidth than you would need for a simple motion sensor. So having motion sensors that are wireless has become fairly ubiquitous, and you don't have to worry about running unsightly wires through concrete walls. In some places like Europe and America, the outsides may be brick, but the insides tend to be plasterboard or much easily managed processes where you can put cables, plaster it up, paint over it, you never see it's been there, and install all sorts of little things that you need. Again, in South Africa, not always a choice with concrete and brick. You're not going to cut that. It's just way too much work. But a good Wi-Fi network, along with some of the smarter new products, allow you to do whatever you want, whether it's control your kitchen appliances, washing appliances, TV, lighting, you name it. Lighting gets a little bit more complicated because lights today still run on power, not wireless. But certainly on a surveillance, and talking about smart surveillance products, like I said, the Arlo systems, you can look them up, or Eufy, or many others that can add a completely new dimension to your smart home in combination with smart locks, which allows you to allow access or to control access, or for yourself not to worry about losing your keys. You arrive at home, tap your phone on the door, it opens the front door, turns off the alarm, and does everything that you need to do in a really smart way. But the biggest benefits of smart homes today is simply convenience, security, and power control, because having the ability to control when and how you use power, when and how lights go on, when and how you run certain high, your pool, and anything that uses a ton of power can be done in a really smart way depending on your needs and your profile. And that can save you money, it can keep things running well, and certainly from a security point of view can keep you informed of anything that's going on in and around the house. Set up scenarios where you can sleep peacefully at night, but if someone approaches the front door or tends to walk past a number of sensors, you will be notified, or your security system will be notified, and that will call someone to come and help you and do everything that you need. So have a look at these various platforms. I think it's time to relook at how security works. The good old days of having a control panel with a keypad and you set up an alarm and then have a couple of gates here and there are really not the way these things should work. It's not convenient, it's not informative, and having video surveillance and video pictures and video control can change the way that you work with your surveillance systems. It can change the way that you work with access and control of the home when you're not there, or even when you are there. If you're sitting by the pool and you don't want to get up and run inside to let someone in, you can simply tap on your smartphone and let them come in as and when you want, because you can see who it is. It makes a huge difference. I've been using that again for a couple of years using a Ring doorbell setup, but they've got cameras now. They've got other motion sensors. They've got door opening and closing sensors. But instead of being simply dumb sensors that say, hey, this door is open, or hey, that door is closed, they actually have some intelligence and scenario planning built in that you can say that I can open three windows during the evening when it's hot and it's not going to set off my alarm, because that's another sort of dumb thing. So many windows have sensors, but you can't leave them open, and then it gets hot, and then you struggle. So smart homes and AI are going to bring an enormous amount of convenience and benefit. Obviously, this all comes at a cost, but the prices today have become incredibly accessible for the most part. A couple of thousand rands here and there can bring you enormous benefit in terms of security, safety, and convenience, which for me is one of the sort of holy grails of technology. It's one thing to be a little technology adverse. Most of them are very easy. The few that I've used, again, just harking back to the video control, the Arlo 3 that I've been playing with in the last little while, it is so easy to set up the cameras. It's easy to mount, they're easy to connect, the system works seamlessly, and it's simple to use. And it's, again, not stupidly expensive. A complete 4-pack can cost around about 15,000 Rand with the control system and everything that you need. Integrating it with your current alarm scenario may be a little bit more challenging, and that depends on who you're using for that. But I think that we should all really have a relook at what's going on. It happened, I did this a little while ago, and I think it really makes a lot of sense to have a fully comprehensive system that integrates with the various elements, the various services, you know, the armed response, the street systems that you have, and it brings just a whole new level of control and smart home convenience, which for me is what it's all about. As a gadget guy, it's really important to know all this type of stuff. And more, a lot of us are integrating some form of power backup within the home, be it solar, be it generators, and being able to manage that electronically makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Now, before we go on to my next segment, which is a great little in-ear gadget that I've been listening to for the last little bit, let's have a quick live read too, and we'll be back straight after a couple more messages from our sponsors. And again, you really should try to discover the delightful symphonies of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham. It's not just bread. It's a lot more than that. Every Friday, you can indulge in fresh-baked, flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade, and classic. All perfect for Shabbat. Try the new V Friends Bakery pretzel challah. That's new. Interesting one. Instead of being plaited in the normal way, it looks like a pretzel. And you'll be a fan for life. So for a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. You can place your order easily through WhatsApp. They don't have an online store yet, but I'm sure that's coming. 076-108-0085. And taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. And on that note, we'll have a quick break for our sponsors, and I'll be back with more gadgets and gizmos straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. Now, I've just got two things that got a little muddled there. I meant to break my previous segment into a quick update on the latest AI agents, but I will hold that for another time. But my gadget of the week is really something that a lot of us use. You see people wandering around with little white earbuds poking out of their ears, like it's become the latest fashion accessory. People at the gym, people walking the street, riding their cars. I'm not going into the whole story about how smart that is, driving a car with earbuds in, but that's a topic for another conversation another day. But Sony have released a brand new set of earbuds, the WF-1000s, and they are without question a premium device. They are significantly more expensive than, for example, some of Apple and other earbuds at around about 7,000 Rand. You can look for them online. And there's the XM5s and XM6s. There are a couple of models in that range. I've tried some of the older ones, some of the newer ones, and they all have one simple thing in common. They are a premium true wireless earbud. Now, what that means is very simply this. They have no cable seam. So last year, I don't know if I haven't seen someone walking around with cable earbuds or earphones for years, but some of them are better than others. There's no question. I've had all sorts of breakups with some of them. In other words, your pocket, your phone is too far away. It's in a bag somewhere, and then they break up and they don't work. So that's another story. Not a problem with Sony's. They are absolutely one of the best sounding earbuds that I've tried. They've got noise cancellation that, again, is equivalent to, if not better than, some of the over-ear, top-end over-ear devices that I've tried in the last couple of years. And I was very, very impressed with the latest versions of the Sony XM1000 in-ear. They also make a version of over-ear, which apparently is a brand new model of that coming shortly. But these ones, which are available pretty much anywhere from Take A Lot, iStore, check them out, as well as from Amazon.co.za. And they're absolutely perfect for traveling. They're great on planes. They fit extremely comfortably. They're very good for Zoom calls, whatever you want to do on your smartphone. And they also have pretty good battery life. That's another thing that a lot of in-ear headphones don't have. So if you're on long trips, if you're wearing them for a long time, 8 hours of battery life from the latest Sony's, which is, I think, pretty impressive. You can charge it about four times in the case fully, which is pretty cool. So if you take them out, pop them in the case, the charging time I found was round about an hour max to get to full charge, sometimes a little bit better. So if you're on a long plane trip, you can charge them for a short while in between. You'll probably find there are very few plane trips that are long enough using earbuds that you're going to run out. They're also fully, well, not fully waterproof, but they are certainly water resistant. So if you use them at gym, you use them for sport, they get a little bit wet in the rain, maybe. They really do stand out. They are a little bit smaller, a little bit bulky for smaller ears. Like, for example, my wife struggles to fit them in and to get them to be comfortable for extended time. So like all other products at this stage, try them before you buy them. Try to get someone to either allow you to try fit them in and make sure that they're super comfortable. But for the average ear, super comfortable. They come with a range of little tips that you can change so that it can suit different ear canals, etc. And they are extremely, extremely comfortable for a long time. They don't integrate with some of the new spatial audio that's available from Apple devices. I've tried that again. Sometimes it really enhances the music. Other times it doesn't. Some stuff is particularly designed for it, but it's not, for me, an overall consideration. The sound quality of the Sony's compared to some of the other, even good quality headphones, is definitely superior. The bass is clearer. The treble is smoother and more distinct. And certainly the voices in the mid-range are rounder and much more comfortable to listen to. The app that comes with it allows you to adjust the sound specifically to your ears, so it's a must-have. And it definitely allows a really customized setup for you. So for audiophiles, for people who really want good quality music, and for frequent travelers who want top-tier noise cancellation, that's simple. It's not a bulky over-ear thing. They are exceptional. They really are amongst the best I've tried for a long time. They do have a premium in price, but Sony always has. And generally, I find that that translates into longevity. They don't date as quickly. They don't go old. The batteries seem to last longer. It's a really good quality product. So if you're looking for a set of in-ear headphones, and you're not concerned about the slightly higher price than the average, then the new Sony XM1000s, either the older ones, the 5, now the upcoming 6, will be very similar in some respects with some added benefit for the newer versions. But sometimes you can get great deals on the previous model, and they are still, in comparison to everything else on the market, extremely good quality and extremely easy to use. So check it out. It's pretty easy to find them pretty much anywhere. And if you are looking for earbuds, I would say it's worth a listen. It's worth a try. If you can't try them before, make sure that you can return them if they don't fit nicely, because no one can live with something that doesn't work of that sort. And on that note, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors, and I'll be back with a couple of tidbits about the latest use of AI assistants and what you should do with them.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And just to close out the show today with some really interesting updates around AI assistants. Now, we talked about them in the past. Basically, it is AI which does stuff on the web, full access to websites, but does the thinking and research for you. And there are three essential main ones, or four, in fact. You've got Grok 3, which comes from the platform X Twitter. And it, since it's new, it's crazy. It's available pretty much anywhere. If you're an X user, it's easy to use. It is free with certain limits, and it's expensive if you want the premium. It's around about 700 Rand a month. So I would say not worth going for, but it's great for deep reasoning with science and those type of things, but maybe not so great for creative writing. The other one everyone knows about is ChatGPT. It's also free and a 400 Rand a month premium for the plus version, which allows you. What it does do, it's really great for creative tasks like writing, ad copy and stories. It has the multimodal DALL-E 3 for image generation, although X has got a very similar plugin, and lots of plugin to support for tools like Google Sheets, etc. So it tends to be slow on the free version. It certainly gives less real-time data integration than, let's say, Grok. And it relies on Bing for web searches. Now, Bing, with respect to Microsoft, which is their product, it's not quite in the same league as Google. So just keep that in mind. You've also got Google Gemini, which is available through the Google ecosystem. So if you use Gmail, you have a Google account, you can get access to Gemini. And there is also a free tier with 400 Rand a month for the advanced tier. It's very strong Google search integration for research. So it's great for academics and business analysts, etc. It has lots of use of text, image, and audio processing, and it's seamless on Google, Android phones, and pretty much the Google platform if you use it. So my personal experience of it is that it tends to be pretty good, not quite as witty, informative, and easy to use as Grok. It comes up with some strange stuff, but Grok can fantasize way more. It looks like it's giving you good information. Sometimes it's just made up. Whereas because of its Google search background, I find that the Google one generally tends to be much more accurate. The last one that really is, I'm not convinced as yet, but I have it. We have Microsoft Office for the work. I use it in my personal life. And Copilot has become fully integrated in it. And it's pretty good at sort of normal tasks when you're writing letters, when you're doing some work in Excel. And it, as a general call to for information, it's not great on the free tier. And the 600 Rand a month Pro is expensive. And for me, doesn't add any massive benefit. It has got DeepSeek and it has incredible integration with Microsoft Office. Sometimes in Word, it's an absolute pain. It keeps trying to interfere and give you stuff which you don't need, which you can turn off and you can ignore for the most part. But it is less versatile for non-Microsoft users. It's not as easy to go to as the others. It also has limited creative output compared to ChatGPT. And the high cost for the Pro features actually may not be for the casual user. I would say stay away from it. So in summary, Grok 3 suits technical tasks. ChatGPT is great for creative projects. And Copilot for Microsoft Office Pros. There's also one built into the whole Facebook microsystem, with Llama, which is very good, but it seems to have got lost in the apps that we use. It's not really seen as a standalone go-to for AI. So check out all three, see how they work for you in your daily life. I find that if I'm looking for example, if you're looking for new running shoes and you really want some examples, you're a pronator, you're heavy, you light, you're long distance, short distance, using Grok, which is part of X, really gives you a massively well-researched insight into what's going on. Always use a touch of intelligence and care when you take the recommendations, because they may not be the only ones, and check with other sources if possible. But really very, very good. ChatGPT seems to be extremely succinct and not always as comprehensive, comparing the various elements. And again, using Copilot, it was really poor. It did not give me enough information that even vaguely sort of guided me in the right direction of which shoe to use, what things are important, what Grok and ChatGPT did, with Grok being the most conversational of the three. But the ChatGPT information was certainly in the same sort of league. So instead of just doing a standard Google search where you say running shoes, recommendations, and you read a ton of reviews, you can use any one of these platforms to do that for you for the most part. It will then distill it into a easily understandable analysis of what you're looking for. And again, do not take absolutely everything that's said as gospel. Just because it's been created on the internet doesn't mean it's always 100% accurate and true. But for the most part, it always has all the various links, so you can go and check out some of the links, and some of them come from multiple websites you would never have found, because that is the base of most of this. It's taking a form of intelligent algorithm and searching as you would without true human intelligence through multiple reviews, recommendations, shops, articles, and other stuff in time that you would spend an hour researching your running shoes on the web. Whereas if you do it through one of the AIs, it can take a minute or two, and you can continuously refine for preferences, distance, you know, disabilities, sore knees, bad hips, etc. And it keeps refining the recommendation until you get some really incredibly useful information of what you want to do in significantly reduced time than you would have if you'd spent a couple of hours trawling the web trying to figure out and read and check sources. The only thing I would recommend, that use some of that save time to check out the AI story. Look at a couple of the sources. Make sure that they're real, because sometimes they have sources that don't exist. If they're real, check out a couple of their bits and pieces and try to understand that these are people that you respect. They've reviewed multiple other things. It makes a lot of sense. So on that note, I'm being told that time is up once again. We have to wrap up this little episode of Tech Talk. So stay safe, upgrade your home, put some video cameras into your security system, and use all the ChatGPTs and smart AI assistants to really save you a lot of time and to get information that would take you a lot of effort to get in the normal course. And on that note, this is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk right here on Chai FM. Till next time we chat, this is Stephen saying have a great week further.